What is up from the SNY studios in New York City? Welcome to another edition of the Knicks Blog Podcast. I am at the SNY studios in New York City, right down the street from Rockefeller Center on this glorious time of year. And my main man, Moak Hamilton, he is in the city of Chicago. He's got some work to do over the next few days, but we're still going to make this show happen. What's up, Moak?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm doing all right. The unfortunate thing, Ant, is that I don't get to see you, man. I'm a little upset about that, but I'm going to try to survive.
Went with the sweatsuit look today. Nice Champion sweatsuit from Modell's.
Can I get one of them? I know you probably, I know you got the hookup all over the place.
Believe it or not, Moak, I actually paid for it on Friday. I was just happened to be in the store, and it was like $18. Couldn't pass it up. This was not free.
That's almost as good as getting it for free.
Well, Moak, over the last 9 games, the New York Knicks, and if you ask me, they really should have won 8 of those 9, but that's basketball. The Knicks have won 6 of the last 9 and showing signs of being a team that might actually matter this year in the NBA.
Well, so Ant, like, but you know, we've been talking about these guys for a long time.
That's what we do.
I was telling everybody for the longest time that these guys would need at least 15 to 20 games. Jeff Hornacek, brand new coach coming in. He needs to figure out what he has. And I think slowly but surely you're seeing evidence of these guys figuring things out, including that Kristaps Porzingis is probably the most efficient player on the team. So they're featuring him more. And overall, man, you got to be happy with what you've seen from some of the lesser heralded players as well.
No, definitely, especially guys like Justin Holiday. For me, Justin has been really good. And, you know, listen, I really wanted to win the Oklahoma City game, the Hornets game on that Saturday night. I thought those were two real lost opportunities for the Knicks, especially the game Saturday night in Charlotte. But as we taped this show on Thursday, last night the Knicks are in Minnesota. The Knicks are up 17 points. It feels like a couple minutes left to go. Minnesota comes back, ties the basketball game. But with a few seconds left, Carmelo Anthony, you know, he had been shooting the ball awful. He's really been shooting the ball awful since his great game Friday, where he hit the game winner that night as well. Comes down to the last play. Carmelo bangs the jumper. He got the shot he wanted in the ISO situation. So if there's obviously a win is a win, so you're happy with that. But if there's a silver lining to the Knicks blowing that game, is that they figured out still how to win the basketball game. And where Carmelo Anthony over the last 3 years missed about 30 game winners in a row. Now, Moak, in less than a week, he's made his last two. And that's
yep.
And for the, you know, they're going to need Carmelo in those situations. So I think that's going to give Carmelo Anthony confidence. So that's a silver lining in blowing the game last night, is that Carmelo Anthony did it again with the clock winding down.
Yeah, and I actually I specifically wanted us to talk about that because honestly, Ant, when he got the ball on the I was talking to Dave Rothenberg. I know one of your homies. I was talking to him about on his radio show. I guess that would have been Saturday or something like that. And he was complaining about how stagnant the Knicks offense looked against the Hornets because he's like, oh, well, you know, Carmelo was going, but everybody was sitting there watching him. And what I told him, which is actually how I feel, is I think at this stage in Carmelo's career, he's probably not going to be able to give you 70 or 75 excellent games the way he was able to 7 years ago. But in most situations when he's going and you have him isolated on a single defender, you'll usually take him in that situation. And you saw that against the Hornets, and obviously you saw that against the Timberwolves. And can you remember off the top of your head when was the last time Carmelo made game-winning shots in back-to-back games? I feel like we haven't seen that in years.
I would probably say when he first got here, he had a few. He had that one versus Memphis when he first got here, the infamous I do this game. Then he had another game winner about a month later in Indiana. And then he had those game winners against the Bulls.
I remember the one in Indiana. That's when he said, I do this, right?
Correct. And then he had the game winners against the Bulls on Easter Sunday. Then for the most part, he hasn't had many game winners over the last 3 years. And listen, one thing people talk about in the NBA a lot, it is not easy to get your own shot. Now, yes, for 48 minutes, should the ball go to Carmelo every time and you ISO every time? No, absolutely not. When you're tied, you're down one, you're down two, and you have a guy who has the ability to get a shot basically whenever he wants. When you're tied at the end of a basketball game, down one's a little different because you go a little quicker. But when you're tied and you have Carmelo Anthony, ISO, I'm cool with that. There's nothing wrong with that. That's NBA basketball.
Yeah, I think the best thing about it, though, Ant, like, you know, hit for it's one thing to make that shot against the Hornets, right? When Carmelo, like, everything was falling for him and he actually had it going. But before he made that shot,
he was
4-for-15 from the field. So what I take away from the whole thing, so first of all, can we give a quick shout to Carl Anthony Towns? I mean, how good
he's
is
not
this
bad.
Guy?
He's not bad.
He's not definitely bad. Not a bad basketball player. Porzingis seemed to have a little extra pep in his step going up against Towns. And
I think more for Zach LaVine, to be honest. Let Zach LaVine have those comments before the game that he wanted to posterize Porzingis. So I think KP was more fired up about LaVine than he was Carl Anthony Towns.
Yo, have you ever seen Zach LaVine jump?
Like, yeah, he can kind of jump. He only did a 360 from the foul line last week in practice.
So, to me, there's no shame in LaVine saying he wants to posterize you.
Oh, that it's guy fun.
Like he could posterize the Kevin Mutombo if he really wanted to be honest with you. But the point is, Porzingis, I mean, I know we're going to talk about him in a second, but he was the one that was going, right? And he's the one that was carrying them. But when the game was on the line, despite being 4-15 throughout the previous goings of the game, Carmelo coming up, hitting a big shot like that for you over a rangy defender like Andrew Wiggins, I think if you're a Knicks fan, you've got to be happy to know that he doesn't need to be taking 20 or 30 shots over the course of the game to be able to hit a big one in the end like that for you. And I think that that's a really, really good thing that comes out of the game. And, you know, it's just good to see Porzingis getting 20 shots, Carmelo kind of taking his as they come, but still coming up in the end when you need it the most.
Moke, some fans may disagree about this, even some people in the media, but do you almost give Carmelo Anthony some credit after missing 111 shots in a row last night? He still wanted that ball, that last shot. I mean, you got to give him some credit for that also.
You know, I only give him credit because he ended up making it.
Of course.
It's what the great John Madden used to call this in football the no-no-go-go. So a guy catches – so there's a kickoff, right? Guy catches the ball 3 yards into his end zone and decide he wants to take it out instead of taking a touchback. John Madden would say, no, no, what are you doing? No, no. And then as soon as the guy breaks loose and it's obvious that he's going to score a touchdown, he's like, go, go.
Well, I knew that was Melo last night.
Go. Exactly. Exactly. So if Carmelo misses that shot, he's getting torched today because everyone's like, oh, man, you know, Porzingis was 11 for 20 from the field. Carmelo was 4 for 15. Carmelo should have let Porzingis get the last shot, blah, 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 especially with the dunk that Porzingis got, which I think, what did that do? That put him up 2?
That put him up 2, and the Timberwolves came back down and got 2 points to tie the game.
Exactly. So especially when Porzingis is having such a great night, Carmelo would have gotten torched for taking that shot. So to your point, Ant, I credit him for having the guts of wanting the moment, but I credit him even more for making the shot because that's not an easy thing to do when you're having a bad shooting night.
I just think that Carmelo Anthony, the one criticism I'll give him is that, and he's done it throughout his whole career, so it's kind of almost muscle memory. You have talent around you, and I do think he's starting to trust his teammates more. You have Derrick Rose, you have Kristaps Porzingis, Courtney Lee, you know, Justin Holiday can make a shot. You know, Billy Hernan Gomez is a talented player. So what he needs to do is he needs to, and obviously he's not as quick as he used to be. And Carmelo Anthony has the type of game where he could play till he's older because he's never, ever relied on athleticism. Just make your move faster. For example, when you catch the ball, if you're going to shoot, shoot. If you're going to drive, drive. If you're going to pass, pass. Just don't hold the basketball. That's what he's got to do less of.
Yeah, and that's something that people have killed Carmelo for his entire career. So as far as Kobe Bryant was concerned, people would say the same thing. If you look at the numbers and you think about who they are as players, there is a fair amount of commonality between Kobe Bryant and Carmelo Anthony, down to how polarizing they were amongst fan bases, you know? The obvious difference is Kobe Bryant being a 5-time NBA champion, you know, all-time great, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But one of the big differences with Kobe, who was also a volume scorer, was that he would at least make snap decisions with the ball.
Correct.
He got it.
He rarely held it and did nothing.
Right, exactly. He either got it and was trying to kill you, or he was like throwing a behind-the-back pass to Lamar Odom or Andrew Bynum or something like that. So Carmelo, I think he still kind of holds the ball a lot, but you do see now, I mean, a couple of these games they won, and you see him making some great passes down the stretch of games to guys like Willie Hernangómez.
Yeah, that was a great pass where he found Billy on Friday night at the Garden versus the Hornets. Great pass.
Yeah, and it was two straight plays that he found.
Yeah, one in a pick and roll.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So you are seeing a bit more of him being willing to trust the 11th or 12th man on the squad. And, I mean, all things considered, we just mentioned it, you know, they're playing pretty good in their past nine games, right? So some things.
Eight of those nine games they played good. Just the Wizards game was an absolute disaster on the day of my birth, by the way.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there, man. I don't know what happened there. But the point is, so nine, you know, out of the last nine games, you said they played well. Eight of them, they could very well have been 8-1. So again, if you're a Knicks fan, I think things are looking up.
We have a stretch coming up now, whereas we tape this show on Thursday, December 1st. And, wow, happy December. Christmas is right around the corner in the holiday season. But the Knicks are back at home versus the Timberwolves on Friday, home Sunday night versus Sacramento Kings. Then they're on the road Tuesday in Miami. And they're back home Wednesday at the Garden versus the Cleveland Cavaliers before they go on a five-game West Coast trip. If you ask me, Moak, listen, you could lose the next 10 games, still get hot, and make the playoffs. But that doesn't work like that. I think these next 10 games, as we talked about the text before the show with our wonderful producer, Jason Pateri, I think these next 7 to 10 games are extremely important.
They definitely are. They definitely are. And you, so at 9-9, as we speak, at 9-9, you're a 500 team. Okay, fine. You know, you when you find yourself 2 or 3 games
below, we need to rise above now, though.
Exactly. Now is where you make hay. So where you look at the next 3 games in particular, they've got the Timberwolves on Friday, as you said, and then they have the Kings on Sunday. And these are two of the poorer teams in the Western Conference. You gotta win both of those games. Then Tuesday, you get on the jet and you go down to South Beach. The Heat, not exactly world beaters, and they got to win these next 3 games and they head into Wednesday's match against the Cavs at 12-9. And even if you lose that, if you're 12-10, okay, fine. Now you go out on a 5-game West Coast trip where if you win 2 or 3 of those, you can come back home being maybe 3 games over 500. That, I think, is exactly where you would want to be if you plan on being a team that wins 45 games this season. You got to start making hay at some point. You got to rise above 500. I think now is the time for the Knicks to try to do that.
And I'll tell you what, Moak, if the Knicks can win these next 3 games leading into that Cavs game, and you don't want to look ahead, you want to take every game for what it is, you know, game by game, you don't want to look 2-3 games ahead, the Garden will have a huge buzz to it on Wednesday night. And that's, to me, there's nothing like it in sports. There's nothing like it in this town when the Garden is buzzed and ready to rock. Moak, Yoannis Cespedes is back in a Mets uniform after inking a 4-year, $110 million contract. I know Met fans were sweating whether he was going to come back or not. To listen to Matt Cerrone and Rob Brender's reaction to the deal and their thoughts on what Sandy Alderson will do next in the winter meetings, listen to this week's Mets Blog Q&A cast presented by Citi. To access the show, just search SNY.TV audio in the iPhone podcast app or wherever app you listen to your podcast. I know that was a very big deal for the Mets to bring back Cespedes, maybe similar to the Knicks bringing back Carmelo Anthony in 2014, although the Knicks were never in the NBA Finals like the Mets were in the World Series last year.
Yeah, four years, $110 million, that's obviously good money, Ant, but that's looking like chump change compared to some of the contracts we've seen in the NBA these days. And Mark Berman of the New York Post, speaking of money, mentioned that the Knicks might actually be
one of the flyest guys in the media, by the way.
Yeah, right. No doubt. One of the veteran guys doing it too. But absolutely, he made some waves this past week. You know, he mentioned that the Knicks might actually be thinking about and looking at doing an extension for Derrick Rose. And an extension for Rose, I mean, we're going to go into a world now where we see NBA players making $25 to $30 million a year easily. And it caused a bit of a ripple because a lot of Knicks fans not really sure they want to see Rose get signed to an extension. Big story. I'm curious to know what your thoughts are on that.
So Derrick Rose to me looks really good. He, you know, I'm not really that worried about him getting hurt. Obviously, in sports, anything can happen. You could just, you know, you could trip over a referee like Carmelo Anthony did last year and ruin the whole season. But I'm not that scared of just a freak of an injury from Derrick Rose. One thing the Knicks have not really had. Now, obviously, there's a lot of change in every sport. It's rarely the same roster every year in any sport. But one thing you need to be a good team to build something, to build a
continuity.
You need continuity. You need stability. Something the New York Knicks have not had over the last 15 years. Chris Paul is most likely not coming here. Okay, Steph Curry's probably not coming here unless you hear from back channels that Steph Curry, who's going to be a free agent, is interested in, you know, coming to New York. Then you hold off on the Derrick Rose signing. But am I interested in signing Derrick Rose to no more? Now, me, if it were me, it'd be 2 years. But no more than 3 years, am I interested in that? I am. I'm interested for sure.
Really? So yes. You're interested in him, or you're saying no more than a 3-year deal?
Yeah, if it were up to me, I would just do 2. But I don't know if Derrick will take 2. I don't think many teams would do more than 3 years because of the injury history. But
right.
I've liked what I've seen so far from Derrick Rose. You do need some sort of stability with this team. Carmelo Anthony's still going to be here the next 2 or 3 years. Carmelo Anthony is still very good. Porzingis is getting better. Courtney Lee's probably going to be here for the next few years, although he's probably tradable. You know, so yeah, I'm definitely interested in bringing Derrick Rose back. I mean, we can't keep, we're going to have this much cap space and this much cap space to get this guy. Eventually, you have to start, you know, being stable. And I'm definitely interested in bringing Derrick Rose back. Now, if you think you have a legit chance of, say, getting Steph Curry, then you hold off on that, but I don't think you do. So I'm definitely interested in bringing Derrick Rose back.
Wow. See, I'm so surprised, and I'm so surprised. So, okay. So
look, I just don't want to put all my hopes in getting Chris Paul or Steph Curry. I've been down that road.
I get that. But what surprises me most, Ant, is you're not even caring about how much money you'd have to pay him. Like, he's making $21.3 million this season.
But then you still have a core, though, of Derrick Rose, Carmelo Anthony. You have Kristaps Porzingis. You have his, you know, you have his right to sign him for whatever you want. You know, Joakim Noah, well, we'll never know. That's another conversation for another day about Joakim Noah. But you have, you know, Billy Hernan Gomez, he's going to be here. So you're really putting together a core. So I'm not against it. Would I like to give him a little less? Of course. But I'm not against it.
Wow. I can't lie. And I'm so first of all, let me just say this. I completely understand where you're coming from. If you went and counted the amount of teammates that Carmelo has had in New York since he came here, I mean, goodness gracious, you're probably talking about over 100.
Yeah, it's a lot. That's definitely a lot.
So you do need continuity at a certain point. But, I mean, Derrick Rose, you know, you talk about a core. Don't you want – so Derrick Rose is only averaging 4.8 assists per game. Like, Brandon Jennings
I would consider maybe if Derrick Rose, if the money's just too much, and I think Brandon Jennings has played a really good point guard this year. He hasn't necessarily shot the basketball well. He might at some point. Maybe that's due to the injury he had. But if you were able to maybe sign Brandon Jennings on the cheap to maybe be a starter if you can't keep Rose, with the way Brandon Jennings has distributed the basketball, I'm not against that either. So I'm up to all options. I want the stability.
That's fair. That's definitely fair. My thing with Rose, so first of all, there's no way in the world I would consider signing him to an extension. Like, if I'm Phil Jackson, if I'm Steve Mills, he's going to have to play through the entire season, and he's going to have to go into free agency on July 1st, and he's going to have to go and make the market.
I'm not mad at that either. I'm not mad at that.
Like, there's no way.
So I just don't want to lose him if we end up not getting, you know, Steph Curry or, you know, Chris Paul. I don't want to lose the guy.
Interesting. You know, I'm not – to be honest with you, Ant, I'm not sure that – I don't know that his loss would really be all that impactful. Like, you look at the numbers, he's giving you 16 points, 5 assists, and 4 rebounds per game. Like, there are tons and tons and tons of other point guards in the league that could give you that kind of production that you could probably pay a lot less money. Now, you mentioned Steph Curry and Chris Paul. Those guys are both going to be free agents this summer. Neither one of them is going to leave California, in my opinion. Kyle Lowry also will be a free agent. I don't think the Raptors are going to let him get away. But a few other guys I would keep an eye on. How do you feel about Drew Holiday of the Pelicans?
I like Drew Holiday. Those, all those guys' names you mentioned, I like. Mm-hmm. I just would like to – yes.
You just want continuity. You don't want to always be worried about OPP, basically,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly. That exactly. I'm almost – it was so much fun – in between 2008 and 2010 about, oh, the class in 2010 and we're going to have this much money. And I was 100% all about it. And there's nothing wrong with always having flexibility. I'll be excited come July to see what free agents the Knicks are possibly going to get. But at some point, you have to have some sort of stability for this basketball team. And maybe it's not Rose. Maybe it'll be Jennings and somebody else. And that I'm not against that either, because I really like the way Jennings has played point guard for this team.
That makes a lot of sense.
How much Jennings? Moke, let me ask you this real quick. Have you been surprised on how good of a passer Brandon has been for this New York Knicks basketball team?
Nah. And that's one thing, Anthony. So I got a lot of love. I got a lot of love for Brandon. I've had several conversations with him over the years. I don't want to make it sound like me and the guy have pizza every Friday night. Oh yeah, I got a lot of love for Brandon. But I am somewhat familiar with him. But one thing I've known about him from the very beginning was he was always a good passer. And his rookie year, he comes in.
I knew he was a good passer, but he likes to shoot also.
Well, he does like to shoot. And then obviously he drops 55 his rookie year. So people immediately thought that he was some sort of scoring extraordinaire. And not really. Like, Jennings has always really been a pass-first point guard, and he'll tell you that himself. So I'm not really that surprised by what he's done. One thing I will mention about him briefly, though, is you got to give him props. He's turning the ball over only 1.4 times per game. For reference, Hernan Gomez is averaging more turnovers per game than Derrick Rose. And Hernan Gomez is playing way less minutes and hardly ever has the ball in his hands. So 1.4 turnovers per game to 4.9 assists per game. If you extrapolate that out, his per 36 numbers are actually very, very good, because Jennings is only playing about 22 minutes a game. So I think he's been just as good as Knicks fans could have hoped. As far as Derrick Rose, I would probably echo that for him. But if I'm the Knicks, I'm not trying to pay him more money than what he's making now. And that's the main reason why the extension talk took me by surprise. Because if anything, if I'm the Knicks after this season, I'm trying to get D. Rose to take a pay cut. I resign him for $12 million or $15
million. I guess let me rephrase what I said about Rose. I'm fine with him staying, but I'd probably rather wait till July. I want to see him make I want to see him make it through the season. I wouldn't give him the extension tomorrow. I'd like to see it. But I'm interested in keeping him. I do want to see him make it through the season.
Yeah, well, not only that, though. And you also, I mean, granted, if he goes into free agency and there's a team out there that's willing to pay him $28 million, I mean, wave bye-bye.
Like, yeah, that's true. But I don't think a team will. No offense. I don't think a team will.
Well, I don't think so either, but I didn't think the Grizzlies would have paid Mike Conley $150 million either.
That's true, and he's out for 6 weeks now. He hurt his back or his neck, so that's not too good for the Grizzlies.
Definitely. That's definitely an unfortunate injury to a very, very good guy. But the other thing, the other pro to making Rose go into July 1st, Anthony, the worst thing that NBA teams do today is bid against themselves. Like, why?
That's been going on for years.
But it's still – it's bad.
Oh, no, and it's still going on, yes. The Knicks did it with Allen Houston. They gave him $100 million when no team would have given him more than 70 back in 2001. It's been going on forever.
Exactly. And why? Like, why do that? So why not make Derrick Rose go out there July 1st? Why not make him go talk to the Sacramento Kings or the Orlando Magic or someone else and let them pony up a contract offer? He's not going to take a pay cut. He's going to bring it back to the Knicks and say, hey, look, these guys want to give me 17.5. And then if you're Steve Mills, you say, okay, fine, well, we'll give you 19. But don't give the guy $25 million when there's no evidence anybody else is willing to even approach that sum.
Well, Mo, as we've been talking about point guards and as we go around the league, as we do every week on the Knicks Blog podcast, I'm going to start with, and I don't think it's really going to happen, but it's just barroom conversation. Steph Curry recently had a comment about possibly joining the Charlotte Hornets, and I don't know exactly what's going on. Obviously, the Golden State Warriors are very good. They'll most likely be playing in the finals this year. They're an amazing team as they sit at 16-2 on December 1st. But Kevin Durant is playing spectacular. He's never been more wide open in his life. But I think there's a part of Steph Curry, and I don't know the guy personally at all, actually, but there's a part of him that kind of misses having the ball in his hands every possession, dribbling around a lot. It's call me crazy. I don't think Steph is selfish at all.
You're crazy, Ant.
But I think there's a part of Steph that misses it. And I'm not saying he's going to leave, but I think he might think about it, especially, and he's really close with the city of Charlotte. The city of Charlotte loves him. I'm not saying he's going to do it, but I think there's a part of Steph that misses, you know, having the ball every possession, dribbling a lot more. I just think so.
So what you trying to say? You trying to say you think he might leave Oakland is what you're saying?
I think he might think about it. I think he's lost. He's still the man there, but I think he's with Durant coming. You know, they're human. I just think that maybe he's like, I miss playing the way he played last year. Remember, the Golden State Warriors did not need Kevin Durant. If they needed an upgrade, they needed maybe some more rebounding. They didn't need Kevin Durant. So I think there's a part of Steph Curry that might be like, I kind of miss how it used to be.
You lucky I'm in Chicago right now, because if I was in New York, man, I would be giving you the stink eye right now. And so, first of all, I don't think Steph Curry is going to leave Oakland. I will say this. LeBron and Dwayne Wade thought it would have been incredibly easy to sacrifice for each other the way they had to when they first joined up. You know what I mean? And they found out the hard way. It wasn't that easy. But I don't think Steph is going anywhere. I think he's going to re-sign out there in Oakland, big fat contract. And I think these guys are going to be good for a really, really long time. That's why they came together. My around the league, I'm going down to OKC. And I'm looking right at Russell Westbrook. In case you've been under a rock somewhere, Russell Westbrook is tearing up the whole friggin' league.
He's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
This guy's averaging a triple-double. He's doing something that we haven't seen since Oscar Robertson. And I'll tell you what, the most triple-doubles in one season, 41 by Oscar Robertson. The second most, 31 by Wilt Chamberlain. Through 20 games, Russell Westbrook has recorded 9 triple-doubles. That puts him on pace to end the season with somewhere around 38, which would be second most in history. And I'll tell you what, he's breathing down Oscar Robertson's neck, not only to average a triple-double, but also to get the most in a single season in NBA history. So keep an eye on this guy. This is history in the making. I love watching him play.
Mo, real quick on Russell Westbrook. I've seen him at the Garden every time he's been here since 2008. I've been fortunate enough to watch him play live. And I watched him Monday night at Madison Square Garden when he beat the Knicks and had another triple-double. And it was different, man. He's always been awesome. But he's, like you said, he's on another level right now. And it's absolutely incredible to watch, although I did not like him dominating my Knicks and leaving the Garden with a victory. But it is, as a fan of basketball, and I love basketball, I love the NBA, it is fantastic to watch. I cannot front about that. Well, Moke, listen, man, we got to get out of here. Enjoy Chicago. If you could, bring me back some deep dish pizza. I'd really appreciate that.
I'm going to bring back a slice for you and Jason.
I know, right? I still owe you guys pizza, but we'll get that soon. We'll get that soon.
I was going to say, because unlike certain people, I don't let down my crew.
You know what I'm saying? Some people, when I was in Chicago, people actually bring deep dish pizza on the plane to bring back to New York. So you can do that.
Okay, well, I will look into that, and don't worry, Jay, I got your back, man. Unlike Anthony, we still waiting for that pizza.
We'll get it. You know what? Let's do it next week. I'll even bring the pies here. Listen, great job, Moke, as always. Always appreciate you. Great job out of our producer, Jason Pateri. Always does a fantastic job. Big thanks to the SNY crew. We'll be back next week right here on the Knicks Blog Podcast. Have a good one, everybody. Take care.
This has been the Knicks Blog Podcast, part of the SNY.TV Audio Network.